This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 7th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The first item is resubmission audit division recommendation memorandum on the New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee, NYR A13-11. Ready to proceed?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee. The findings consist of, number one, misstatement of financial activity. Number two, record keeping for employees. Number three, disclosure of occupation and name of employer. Number four, reporting apparent independent expenditures. And number five, record keeping for communications. The deferral was approved by the Commission on August 10th, 2017. We are available to answer any question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? Mr. Goodman.
Yes, I was a little confused. This issue comes up quite often, as you know. people run, state parties run volunteer mail programs. They don't always keep all of the records. But we have credited affidavits in the past that make blanket representations under oath. I'm not sure who I direct this question to. Yes, ma'am. Why aren't we crediting the affidavit of the state party's counsel that said that all of their mail in this election cycle was conducted pursuant to the volunteer mail exemption? Why don't we credit the representation that they only ran one type of mail program?
Commissioner Goodman, I'm Nicole Burgess. We did not give Mr. Previtt's affidavit. We didn't recognize it in the report. However, when the committee submitted their affidavits, they submitted them all in packets from the vendors, and they attached the associated mail pieces along with the invoices. I brought them along. So they came in a packet as such, and the invoices as well as the individual mail associated mail pieces were all attached, and the affidavit stated that they were attesting to the attached invoices and mail pieces. So as an example, this is an invoice from affidavit invoice packet from Atlas Direct Mail, and in this packet we have all of the associated invoices and mail pieces that the vendor is attesting to. However, the 236 that was mentioned in the ADRM, of that amount, 91,000 included pieces and invoices that were related to Atlas Direct Mail and were not included in this packet. And thus, that is why we make the distinction in the audit report, only giving credit for the pieces that were submitted as attached to an individual vendor or campaign official. So,
did I overread then the general counsel, the state party's, the general counsel's affidavit, and his statement that all of the mailings that the party engaged in were conducted pursuant to the volunteer mail exemption?
That is what he stated.
Yes.
However, we just made the distinction only because the committee did take the time to actually separate out the different vendor items, and the affidavits do clearly state that these invoices and mail pieces were supplied by the New York Republicans for their review, and they were per their recollection, conducted under the volunteer materials exemption. So,
can I continue, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, but she's still talking.
Oh, okay.
I can take a question.
Is there just a gap in their identification? I guess I'm not completely following the gap between what that affidavit covers and the more all-inclusive representation by the counsel for the Mr. David Provite?
Yes.
Where he says all of the express advocacy mailings reported as federal election activity on line 30B of the committee's FEC disclosure reports during the 2012 election cycle were part of the committee's volunteer mail program. And I followed the same procedures described in my February 2015 affidavit to ensure there was substantial volunteer participation in all of the mailings production and distribution. Are you telling me that there is a gap, there is a group of direct mail expenditures that is not covered by this statement in paragraph 8 of the affidavit? In other words, were there other mailings that were not reported as federal election activity on line 30B?
No, there were not.
So the gap is in the evidentiary submission?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how do we make the submission by the vendor speak to this representation? In other words, were all of the mailings done by this one vendor?
No, they were not. We received four vendor, some of them were repeats. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm trying to recall off the top of my head. Some were repeat affidavits, meaning that the committee, New York Republicans, went back to the vendor and supplied more invoices and mailers, and then the vendor submitted an additional affidavit. So we have received somewhere between 6 and 10 affidavits from vendors and campaign officials. And the only reason that there is a distinction made is because the Atlas, for example, the 95,000 was not included in the packet that we received from the actual vendor, and it still remained outstanding, and we just didn't make the leap because there were no affidavits attached to Mr. Previtt's. There were no invoices and mailers attached to Mr. Previtt's affidavit.
I have not read the vendor affidavits that you're referring to that attach mail pieces. Do they represent that these are mailings that were processed using volunteers?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And so, excuse me. So you credited those affidavits from the vendors?
Yes, we did.
Were the vendors responsible for operating the direct mail program for the party?
Yes, they were. They were not responsible, but they were the
vendors. Assisted?
Yes.
Okay. And they printed?
Yes, they did.
And okay, production. Provided postage, that
yes.
Type of thing. Well, volunteers processed it. At least that's the representation.
Yes, sir.
Years later, after an election cycle, what was the total universe of direct mail?
The total universe of direct mail was 1.1 million.
And you say what's unaccounted out of 1.1 million is about a little less than $100,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they just, what you haven't found is the specific mailers that correlate to that $100,000. No one has submitted you an affidavit covering invoices for the last $100,000 of $1.1 million.
Yes, they were not attached to the affidavit. We do have the mailers and the invoices, but they were not attached to the affidavit.
And it's the absence of the mailers and invoices for that last $100,000, and therefore no specific vendor affidavit on which the the audit staff has concluded or decided to recommend a finding that those were independent expenditures.
Yes, sir. And again, because some of that activity, that $91,000, does relate to Atlas Mail, which we did receive a packet for, and they were $85,000 of that $91,000. There's a small amount that was not, but $85,000 of that $91,000 was in support of two candidates, and they are the two candidates that we received affidavit from Atlas Direct Mail to support their volunteer component.
Mr. Chairman, I'll yield to Commissioner Weintraub.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I don't seem to have the affidavits all in front of me, but my recollection is there were three different kinds of affidavits. There was the affidavit from the lawyer saying, I did my job as a lawyer. I understand the volunteer exception, and I explained it to them and told them that they had to have volunteers. And I agree with what I think your determination is that that's great that they have a good lawyer who explained the law to them, but he wasn't physically there when the mailers were being produced, and he can't really testify from personal knowledge as to whether there were any volunteers present at each and every one of the productions of these mailers, right?
Correct.
Then there are a number of vendor affidavits that said, you know, we actually produced the mailers, and there were volunteers present at the production of these specific mailers, and they attached them. And there was one, I think, that was a said he had a subcontractor, if I'm recalling correctly. So there was the lawyer, and then there was the general contractor, and then there was a subcontractor who actually prepared the mailing. And on that one, we only have an affidavit from the general contractor, not from the subcontractor. So again, I think we have, and you and I may differ on what conclusion to draw from this, but I think we have, from my perspective, an evidentiary problem there, again, because the person who submitted the affidavit was a step removed from the actual production and from being in the room with the volunteers. Am I right about that?
I would have to get back to you on that last group. I know that we had the vendor, the campaign officials. I know there was one from a campaign manager. And Mr. Previtt, the counsel, I would have to look into the one that you're speaking of now.
Okay. Because my own conclusion would be that, you know, I'm willing to accept the affidavits from the guys who were in the room where it happened, so to speak, or, you know, were, like, really close to the production of it and say that they had volunteers there. But it's harder for me to accept as an evidentiary matter an affidavit from someone who wasn't there, even, you know, because the best they can do is say, we understood the law, we explained it to the people who are actually doing, who are actually producing the mailers, but they can't, because they weren't there, testify from personal knowledge as to whether there were volunteers there or not.
Commissioner Goodman.
I understand the point. I read the affidavit from the lawyer a little differently, and it could be there's some interpretation of the affidavit, but I'm reading from the affidavit, and he not only says he was responsible for the legal compliance, but he goes on to say, my affidavit dated February 6, 2015, previously submitted to the commission, describes specific examples of how I coordinated volunteer participation, staffing activities, and ensured that volunteers participated directly in the sorting, bundling, bagging, and tagging of mail pieces by local zip codes, and in the loading of mail bags onto trucks for delivery to U.S. post offices. It was also standard practice to have extra copies of the mail pieces printed for hand distribution by volunteers. And he claims I followed the same procedures described in my February 2015 affidavit to ensure there was substantial volunteer participation in all of the mailing's production. Now, in the past, we have seen not nearly the detailed affidavits we have here from the actual vendors. And I don't know about you, but I know that we had some votes on the commission.
Yes,
that at
but
least
not mine.
Maybe not yours. But where what the party comes in with 3 or 4 years hence, you know, after an election cycle, is they come in with the sign-in sheets for maybe 5 of 15 volunteer mail sessions and pictures of 4 others, and it's a patchwork quilt of documentation that they have, but they show that they did try to comply with the volunteer mail exemption. And then they follow up with an affidavit. In the absence of any evidence about the other 10 events, the other 10 nights where volunteers came down to party headquarters and put the stamps on and sorted the mail, they have an affidavit that says the only kind of mail program that the party operated in this election cycle was volunteer mail. We didn't do other kinds of mail. And all of our mail programs, that is the other 10 for which we have no evidence, all of them operated in the same way that the 5 we have documentation for operated. And that's the way I read this affidavit, is here we've got more evidence than we've even seen in some of those cases as to about $1 million worth of mail from the vendors. The only gap in evidence is $100,000 worth of the mail, but then we have the, I'll call it sort of the omnibus or the cleanup affidavit that says, I coordinated operations in all of our direct mail conformed to this practice. Now, you know, it's almost as if to say, I'm sorry, there's 10% of it for which I can't recreate every direct mail piece and every volunteer night and pizza night at the party headquarters, but I'm telling you, all of our mail program was run in conformance with the evidence that we've submitted here. And I think it's a reasonable inference that if you can show that for $1 million of $1.1 million, that the last $100,000 probably fell within the... It would be very odd to run $1 million of mail through a volunteer program and then have this one little piece out there that was not done in a volunteer way, especially given an affidavit that says all of it was done that way.
Mr. Chairman?
Pardon me, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you. I'm not sure. I agree with you that it would be very odd because, excuse me, the nature of volunteer activity, excuse me, sorry, something caught my, yeah, just something caught my throat. The nature of volunteer activity is it depends on the volunteers showing up. And it strikes me as not at all inconceivable that, you know, you put your calls out and you make your best efforts to get your volunteers to show up. And, you know, one day you get 5 volunteers and another day you get 4 volunteers and one day you get no volunteers. Now, do they shut down their operation if the no volunteers show up, or do they say, oh, OK, well, we were all set up to print these things out and get them out. So we're going to do that because we've got an election coming up and we want to get the mail out, which is and I am not. I could be wrong about this, but I am not aware of me personally having voted for accepting, okay, you know, we have affidavits or we have documentation for 40%, and therefore, you know, you should assume that we had the same kind of system in place for all of them. I have in front of me, by the way, right now, the affidavit that I was remembering, which comes from Dan Hazelwood, who said he is the president of Targeted Creative Communications, and he subcontracted the printing and addressing of these materials to Phoenix Graphics of Rochester, New York, and then goes on to describe how he instructed Phoenix Graphics what they were supposed to do. But again, he's the general. There was a subcontractor. He can't – it's you know, I'm not saying that what he's saying here isn't true. I'm sure it is. It's just that he did not, by definition, have personal knowledge of, you know, whether the volunteers showed up.
Just real quick to ask you a question. And looking at the one affidavit, by Dan Hazelwood. It does say that, and I apologize for not being more current on this, but it says specifically they were instructed to have volunteers sort the materials as they were completed by the printer addressing facility by bundling, bagging, and tagging the pieces and then placing them on a delivery truck. The mail would not be accepted by the USPS if it were not for the key volunteer components. It sounds to me like this was the instructions that were given, but there's nobody there to verify that it happened and was them. Or is that your view that enough has been done to assume that that's been done?
Yes. And I'm looking at the affidavit of David Previte, who apparently submitted two affidavits and says that he was responsible and did coordinate the volunteer staffing activities. And he makes a representation that I have accepted in a prior audit that all of this committee's mail program was done as a volunteer mail program. We have a different gap in evidence in this case, though, than we've had in others. In others, the gap of evidence is the sign-in sheets and the photos of the volunteer night and the pizza boxes that pile up. And we have allowed the affidavit to fill that void, at least some commissioners have. Here, the party has gone far beyond that, and they have tried to actually attach each and every mail piece that was printed by a vendor and have the vendor explain, here are all the mail pieces I printed, and I worked with the party's volunteers to effectively mail those. And the gap now is because we created all this additional affidavit evidence, the gap is that some vendors didn't account for about $90,000 of the mailings. But we still have the gap filler of the catch-all affidavit that all of our mail program was done in this way. We only ran a volunteer mail program. I understand that there, in some cases, maybe somebody didn't show up, but it gets to be, am I going to credit the party's representation that that's the only kind of mail program that they ran and that all of their mail was done by the volunteer mail procedure? And so I've credited it in the past with far less gap-filling affidavits than we have here. Here they went the extra mile and actually got the vendors to provide the evidence as to $1 million worth of $1.1 million. And it has been, it is certainly possible that on one night nobody came to stuff the envelopes and the mail house went ahead and mailed them out, you know, itself. But I think it's just as plausible that they only ran these as volunteer programs because that was the program in place at the party. And the fact that the gap now is down to $100,000 out of $1.1 million makes that even more plausible to me, in my mind.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure none of this is making any sense at all to our Moldovan visitors. But just to give a little bit of background, because it does affect how I view these, the reason that we care about this at all is because there's an exemption to what would otherwise be a contribution limit from the party to these candidates. There's an exemption for if they prepare these materials, it won't count against their cap. What?
No, these would have been independent. The findings that they were independent expenditures, and parties under Colorado can make independent expenditures.
Well, they said they weren't independent, though. They should know.
Oh,
whether
okay.
They were.
Yes, I'm
right. If they told us they weren't independent, then they should know whether they were working with the candidates or not. I'm certainly willing to credit that if they say they you know that I mean. That would be a different argument if they came in and said that they were done independently. That's not what they're arguing. They're saying they were not done independently of the candidate, but they shouldn't be counted against the limit on how much they can spend on behalf of their candidates because these communications were prepared with the substantial assistance of volunteers. And there's a specific exemption for that to encourage volunteer activity. But what we have, A, there's two problems with that. One is that exemption specifically says that it's not supposed to cover direct mail. And the commission has bent over backwards to basically say that direct mail isn't really direct mail, even though direct mail is otherwise defined as a mail that's done at a commercial mailing house. The commission has said, well, even if it's done at a commercial mailing house, if you've got some volunteers in there doing something along the way, that'll still be good enough. We'll just pretend that it's not at a commercial mailing house. And I have a bit of a problem with that from the get-go. But what I think is happening in a lot of instances is because it no longer, nobody stuffs envelopes anymore out there in the real world. Everybody uses commercial mailers and they come up with things for the volunteers to do in order to take advantage of this exemption. But the bulk of the work is being handled by the professionals, by the commercial mail house. And I think in many instances they kind of bring in the volunteers to, you know, we've had discussions about this where Commissioner Peterson has talked about the blessing of the mail by the volunteers. You get a few volunteers in the room, take their picture, feed them some pizza, and they, you know, move the bags from one side of the room to the other or load them on the truck, and we say, okay, now it's a volunteer activity. It's all gotten, I think, very far away from the original notion of what the volunteer participation would be and how important it would be to the production of the mail. So since I'm somewhat skeptical that this exemption really even applies anymore, that makes me even more convinced that I need to see some solid evidence that the volunteers were really in the room and were playing some role in this. I don't doubt for a second that this lawyer tried to ensure and took whatever steps he could to ensure that it was all running according to his understanding of the law. I'm not suggesting that he wasn't doing his job, but he also wasn't in the room.
Any further comment? But I find it, this is a close one for me because I also have some of the skepticism of Commissioner Weintraub, but I also see an attempt in good faith to try recognize their responsibility and do it for the most part. And so I wasn't really sure. But I also share the concern of Commissioner Weintraub that an overreaching affidavit that scoops up things that clearly there's no personal knowledge about are risky to accept without saying, well, we did it once and we're going to do it again. So I'm finding this a tough one. It appears that 90%, close to 90%, got over the hurdle, but this 10% did not. So I'm still thinking it over. Yes, Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want
to. It's nice to be able to call you Commissioner Peterson while we can.
Thank you. I just want to shift gears slightly to funding one.
To what, sir?
What's that?
I didn't hear it. Yeah, to what?
Finding one, the misrepresentation, a financial activity finding. And it appears that the bulk of the issue here is the and correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understood it is that the committee represents that it received both federal and non-federal contributions into its federal account, and then from that point would use it as a merchant account, and then would then send contributions that either because of their amount or because of the source or some other indicia would then be transferred to the non-federal account.
That's correct.
Okay. And in 2011, that amount constituted $190,000. So we had $190,000 that came in to the federal account that was determined to be actually for the non-federal account and then was subsequently transferred and then 2012, we had a similar arrangement set up, and the amount at issue was $157,447, is the way I understand it.
Yes.
So the committee argued that, and cited to a 2001 advisory opinion, I believe it's the DNC Services opinion, to argue by analogy that in essence, these deposits were out of administrative convenience, and that none of these funds were, none of these non-federal funds were actually used for federal purposes. And is there any evidence to indicate that non-federal funds were actually used for federal purposes, or is that representation borne out by what you found?
Not really, no. There was no non-federal funds used for federal accounts.
Okay. So it sounds like it happened the way they represented, where all of it would come into their federal account and then they would dispense to their non-federal as appropriate.
That's true.
But it was the audit division's conclusion, and I guess supported by OGC, that the 2001 AO, 2001-17 to be precise, was not applicable in this case. And I don't know if I turn to Mr. Bloom to speak to that issue. They recognize that it wasn't on all that they're arguing by analogy, but it was the office's determination that this isn't applicable in this instance. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of flesh out that conclusion that OGC arrived at in this particular matter.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. We had concluded in our comments that Advisory Opinion 2001-17, that had pertained to a national committee at the time that had made an inquiry about how it should handle contributions that were intended to be split between the federal and non-federal accounts. And the Commission authorized a process by which the National Committee could take so-called, we refer to it in our comments as composite mm-hmm. contributions, and deposit the entire amount, even though part of it was intended to be non-federal, into the federal account, and subsequently transfer the non-federal portion to a non-federal account, so long as the transactions were properly disclosed in the reports. So there were two aspects to our analysis in this case. There was the substantive aspect of the analysis, which concerned whether 11 CFR 102.5, which normally prohibits the introduction of non-federal funds into federal accounts, whether that applies here. And then the second aspect would be the procedural aspect in terms of the reporting, whether the transactions were properly disclosed. My understanding in terms of the reporting aspect from the audit division was that none of these actual transfers, the deposits of the non-federal credit card contributions and the transfer to the non-federal account, were actually reported in any way or disclosed in the federal reports. And it's my understanding that the committee's argument was that it wasn't required to do that. So in that sense, we didn't think that Advisory Opinion 2001-17 would cover the committee's non-reporting of the deposit and subsequent transfer. In terms of the substantive issue, the opinion itself was confined to the composite contribution situation, as I understood it, as we understood it, and it wasn't clear. And I don't know if the audit division, I don't believe the audit division actually has information about this, whether the contributions in question in this case, the credit card contributions, were actually composite contributions, or whether they were intended wholly to be non-federal contributions. That we considered significant because actually
the parameters of the 2001-17 opinion included a representation by the National Committee in that opinion that any wholly non-federal contributions that it received, it would deposit directly into its non-federal account rather than use the federal account as a conduit for the transfer. So it seemed to be factually significant to us to identify what portion of the contributions in this case were composite contributions and what portion were wholly non-federal contributions. Composite contributions, for the substantive question about the violation of Section 102.5, that would be permissible under the parameters of Advisory Opinion 2001-17. But wholly non-federal contributions, our view was and remains that they ought to have been deposited directly into the non-federal account.
Okay. I appreciate that explanation.
Commissioner Goodman. Excuse me.
Joshua, Mr. Bloom, the deposit. Is the finding here a reporting that they didn't report these dollars, or is there also a finding, or alternatively, either in addition to a finding of depositing state funds into a proper account while the regulations require there to be two different accounts? In other words, what's the finding, that they just simply didn't report these receipts into the federal account?
Well, as I understand the way that the audit report currently reads, mm-hmm. The finding is one of reporting.
Reporting, yes.
It's reporting. Yes. But it was our office, actually, that raised the potential substantive issue as also a potential issue. And we had suggested that might be a part of the finding.
And it is or is not a part of the finding? A more substantive violation of the deposit of the funds versus a reporting violation?
Just reporting.
Reporting violation.
Hmm. And as to the reporting, the party has invoked the older opinion that merely using the federal account taking a check with some of the funds intended for the state account and moving them out, the money was never intended to be accounted for by the federal committee, although the account was used to receive and then disperse the funds.
Yes.
So it's a use of a bank account, but their position is, because they didn't, their position is because they never intended to realize the state portion of that contribution, they didn't report it as a federal contribution because they moved the money promptly to the state account.
Yes, I believe that is a synopsis of their position. They essentially said that they reported all of these non-federal contributions in their state reports, and that sufficed.
So it was an accounting. It's as much an accounting issue. So then it seems to me that the broader issue is hold aside the reporting, whether they should have realized these receipts and reported them on their federal reports. It strikes me that it could be viewed more as a misuse of the federal account rather than a reporting issue.
Yes, I suppose it could be seen that way. That's not how I had originally conceptualized it. I had also, in terms of the reporting question, there was language in the advisory opinion, the older advisory opinion, 2001-17, in which the commission strongly emphasizes that if the National Committee is going to use the federal account this way to deposit mixed contributions and transfer the non-federal portion, it has to be very clearly noted in the federal reports.
As memo entries or how?
It could be noted as memo entries. We had advice from RAD that it wouldn't necessarily have to be noted as a federal receipt per se. That is the the reports analysis division had provided us with information indicating that it could be noted as memo entries.
In other words, not realized in the cash on hand balances,
right. Exactly.
But merely the money in, money out could have, if they had just made a memo entry.
Yes.
Okay. And is that written somewhere? Is there a policy written about the memo entry, or was that sort of RAD's advice internally in the building to the Office of General Counsel in connection with this audit?
That was RAD's advice to us.
Yes.
There was also a prior matter that I had looked at, an audit of the Missouri State Democratic Committee, where it looked like memo entries would have been acceptable in that case.
Okay.
I checked with.
I'm sorry, Joshua.
I checked with RAD to see what reporting method would be acceptable, and RAD indicated to me at the time that either way would be acceptable.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Commissioner Goodman.
Question for the audit division. When we audited this committee, did we ever advise them that if they filed either a Form 99 amendment or amended their reports to reflect this as a memo entry, that would be a proper cure or a proper remedy to the reporting problem?
No, we did not.
Okay.
So my concern to this is a little aside from what's happened is if there's not, to just treat it as there's no cash on hand, I get that, but it seems to me you might have a situation where you've got, say, $1 million flowing through of non-federal money and $100,000 of federal money, and somewhere there should be some disclosure of the time when that non-federal money was held in the federal account as kind of a custodian, which is a concerning situation to have that much money. This is by analogy, my hypo, but still it seems to be there should be some policy that recognizes that and points it out to somebody who might be looking at a report. I just wonder if we should have. It seems to me there must have been a lot of times when this has happened in the past and it just has been dealt with ad hoc. Any further questions on where to go with this? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And from what I understand from the report, this issue has been resolved going forward. I believe that they make that the New York Republican Party has made representations that this is no longer the method by which they take in contributions. They figured out ways to code the credit card contributions in order to have them dispersed immediately to the proper accounts, and that this is no longer the method by which they receive credit card contributions. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So it sounds like the issue's been resolved to a large extent. This is activity that took place back in 2011, 2012. So obviously, it's quite a ways in our rearview mirror. I think that, and Mr. Bloom, thank you for the explanation and kind of the extent of the reasoning that you had to reach this conclusion. I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think you're probably right on it. I think though that I'm going to probably vote to put the amounts or pertaining to the credit card contributions to have that put into additional issues. I'm not sure that I feel completely comfortable saying that the advisory opinion or some analogous argument that could be derived from that opinion is necessarily incorrect. I think in a matter like this, again, that is somewhat older. I'm not sure that I want to necessarily bite down on that in this particular case, and so I think that, and but also because of the length of time that that has transpired, I also don't want to drag this out needlessly as well. I think that in the representations from counsel, I think some finality is requested with respect to this audit. So when it comes time to make motions on that, I'm going to support moving at least the analysis that pertains to the credit card contributions to the additional issues section.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further? Commissioner Goodman.
I see that our Moldovan visitors have departed. But for the good of the order, I didn't want to leave something out there hanging. I do believe the consequence, if you do not accept the affidavits here, is an IE, not a coordinated expenditure. I believe the representation of coordinated expenditures was the Hawaii Democratic Party audit that comes after this. I'm looking at the finding. The finding is failure to file independent expenditure reports. I don't think there was a representation here that the mail pieces were coordinated. Am I right about that? This is an independent expenditure reporting issue?
Yes, it is.
And it's the Hawaii Democratic Party audit that comes later where the council made the representation that the mail pieces were coordinated? Yes. So this is not a party coordinated expenditure limit case. The consequence, if we don't accept the affidavit, is that they didn't file IE reports timely for 24, 48-hour IE reports.
Commissioner Peterson. Excuse me, Commissioner Weintraub. No offense.
But isn't somebody help me out with this. Isn't the whole point of using volunteers, the whole point of the volunteer material exemption is an exemption to the coordinated spending, isn't it?
It may have that beneficial effect, but it also avoids treating them as independent expenditures and the 24, 48-hour reporting of independent expenditures. Am I wrong? I mean, it may have a couple effects.
Well, the volunteer mails exemption is an exemption generally to the definition of expenditure.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. Right.
So, and there was no evidence, I take it, in our audit that there was coordination.
No, there was not.
And so the finding here would be that they made independent expenditures that they didn't timely report in 24, 48-hour reports.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you. I just had one final clarification, and this pertains to finding three. So this was the occupation, name of employer. I just want to make sure that I understand. There are a lot of different slicing of that 205 number, and I just want to make sure that I fully understand it. So there were 205 itemized individuals contributing a total of $563,000 and change, and it was the audit division's conclusion that 95 of those did not have, that there weren't best efforts demonstrated, but the committee had demonstrated, or at least had the documentation to demonstrate best efforts with respect to 110?
No, 348.
Yes.
Okay. And, but, oh, yeah.
On the 110, and testify, you can correct me wrong, on the 110 and contributions, they had the information, but they didn't file amendments.
Yes.
So those
of that subset of 110, they had the documentation, but filed amendments with respect to what, 91 of them?
No.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. So so there were, I guess, another 19 that they had the documentation for, but amendments weren't filed.
Yeah, the amendments weren't filed as of the time of the audit. And so that's what why those amounts were in the original violation amount. Post
okay.
the audit, they filed amendments for 91 of them. Is that correct?
Correct. They filed amendments for 91.
For 91.
Yes.
And is that current as of right now? Do we know if any further amendments with respect to the other 19 have been filed, or is it just, as far as we know, 91 is just the number?
As far as we know.
Okay. Okay. So when I first read the summary of the finding in the last sentence, it said in response to the interim audit report recommendation, NYR included memo entries in its most recently filed disclosure report providing the missing contributor information. I'm assuming, does that mean with respect to the 91?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if that's indeed the case, we may just want to make that clarification in the report just to ensure that someone who only skips to the highlights and doesn't get into the meat of these reports will fully understand what the nature of the finding is. But that's the only question I had with respect to occupation and employer. Thank you.
Any questions? Further discussion? Any motions? Of course. Mr. Peterson,
Chairman, I'll make a suggestion as to how we may want to proceed. That hopefully can bring this to a close. I think that there, as far as I know, there's probably agreement on findings 2, 3, and 5. I don't have any disagreements with the auditor's findings on that, other than maybe that we want to make a note on the summary of finding 3, just to make it crystal clear what the nature of the finding was. We could make that motion first, and then we could maybe make separate motions with respect to findings 1 and 4, and then I think at some point we can find some satisfaction on all sides and put this one to bed. So, but I'd be happy with respect to findings 2, 3, and 5 in the that we approve the audit division recommendation memorandum on the New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee, which is audit 13-11, that we approve those findings.
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner Goodman,
on the for the audit staff in the record keeping for employees, the proposed finding of failure to maintain monthly payroll logs totaling $713,427, was any portion of that funded by the state party wholly from state funds? Were any employees in that paid wholly from state funds?
No.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. The ayes have it unanimously. Commissioner Weintraub?
I'll take them one at a time. The second one's going to be a little bit tricky. With respect to the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee, A13-11, set forth in agenda document number 17-55A, I move approval of finding 1.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay. The motion fails. Commissioner Weintraub and I voted in favor, and voting against was the Vice Chair, Commissioner Goodman, and Commissioner Peterson. Excuse me, Commissioner Peterson.
I'll also make a motion with respect to finding 1. I move that we approve the finding of the Audit Division, except that with respect to the amounts that relate to the credit card contributions received by the committee, which were, I think it was $190,000 in 2011 and $157,447, that portion of the finding be kicked to additional issues.
About the 91,000?
About the 190 in 11 and the 150, was it 157? Those portions of the finding, I recommend that those be put in the additional issues section.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I am in favor. Passed unanimously. Retreating motions. Commissioner Weintraub.
Okay. With respect to finding 4, reporting of apparent independent expenditures. Can you tell me the number that you have? It's a little bit hard to find in here.
The number that we have is $1,051,064 for we have $1,051,064 in apparent independent expenditures due to the lack of a clear standard, and we ask that the commission find that NYR failed to report mailers containing express advocacy totaling $91,439. And I'm sorry.
Thank you. With respect to finding 4, I move approval of the recommendation with the numbers stated by Ms. Burgess, except that I would like to add in, and it's not going to pass, so at some point somebody can do the math, I suppose, but it's almost an academic question. I would add to the 91 the amount that would have been covered by the Hazelwood affidavit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You would like to add to the 91,000 the amount that was covered by the targeted creative?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because we have an affidavit from the general contractor, but not from the sub-vendor who was actually doing the work and could have spoken with personal knowledge as to whether the volunteers were in the room.
Madam Vice Chair.
Sorry, could you please clarify, are you now not crediting the Hazelwood affidavit? I'm not following what you're...
Well, I'm not. I believe that this. I'm not saying he's lying, but as I indicated before, he did not have personal knowledge of the production because he was he subcontracted the printing and the addressing to Phoenix Graphics, and he told them what to do, but he wasn't there when they did it, so he cannot from personal knowledge testify as to whether there were volunteers in the room because he and his people were not in the room. It went to a subcontractor.
And is that subcontractor, I just don't remember the name right now, the same subcontractor that we got the other information from?
No, he is not. That he is one vendor, and he supplied only one affidavit for just that small.
We don't have anything from Phoenix Graphics who actually did the work.
So you're adding to the 91,000?
Yes. The amount that would have been covered by this particular affidavit that was produced by Targeted Creative Communications through their subcontract to Phoenix Graphics. I don't have those numbers, but I would direct audit to do the math for me.
Okay. I think that just reminds me that, it's obvious, we've talked about this a million times, but what we said a minute ago, there's a lack of a clear standard for this volunteer exemption. And now I'm even more confused, and I'm sure the public is too, and the Moldovans even left. But I will reiterate my interest in trying to get a fourth vote for the policy that we put out a few years ago and then put out again a couple of months ago. Happy to take comments, and I intend to put that back on a public meeting agenda in the near future. I think we're just making it more and more confusing for the public who's trying to take advantage of utilizing volunteers in our public process and our political process.
A question on the 91,000, on the affidavit, was that credited for other funds except for the 91,000?
There are no affidavits for the 91,000.
Well, there's an affidavit saying no personal knowledge.
No.
Okay, but I'm missing out on that.
The targeted, Mr. Hazelwood's affidavit is worth approximately $35,000.
I see.
That is not included in the 91,000
I gotcha.
Figure.
So my motion would, make a finding of failure to report apparent independent expenditures.
Would be the 91,000 plus the 35,000.
Yes, the 91 plus the 35. That would cover the 91 plus the 35.
Well, I'm still wavering a little bit. I'll support Commissioner Weintraub, but I think that's really a close one for me. We do need some clarification on how we're going to treat affidavits and other things, too.
Do you need to call the vote, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, yeah, I guess we did. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails. Commissioner Weintraub and I both voted there was a nay vote, and the Commissioner, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Peterson, and Commissioner Goodman
voted
in favor.
Yes.
What did I say?
We voted aye, they voted nay.
We voted aye, and but it was unsuccessful for those votes. That's what I meant to say.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I could make an inquiry of either the audit staff or Office General Counsel, would it be, I wasn't planning on supporting any portion of finding four since we voted against it. Is there any need to make an affirmative motion to request that this be put in additional issues, or is just the 2-3 vote sufficient at this point to have that be put into additional issues?
I think it needs to have to say.
See, it's clean.
So I think at this point it'd be cleaner to vote on finding four. There's two issues in finding four to vote on. There's the 91,000, which are the mailer cost that were excluded from any vendor affidavit or campaign affidavit. And those are costs that I think some commissioners say are covered by the generic affidavit. Just to be clear, those are excluded because we separated those because those were purposely excluded by the vendor. When the vendor listed out what mailers they were discussing in their affidavits that covered VME, they did not include those invoices which were from their company. And so because those weren't included in their listing of what had volunteer involvement, we excluded those. Even though I understand that some of the commission feels that the generic affidavit covers those. So that's the 91,000, as well as the audit division is asking that the commission vote on what is the new number?
1,051,064.
And that number represents affidavits covered by vendors that associated with direct mailers. It includes the one also that Commissioner Weintraub wanted to exclude. So you still need a vote on that finding on those two issues.
What?
The 91,000 as well as a
million something. How is that different from the motion I just made?
The 91,000, you voted on part of the finding.
No, I included the million in my motion.
Oh.
I didn't hear that. Am I wrong, Madam Secretary?
Mr. Calvert.
I think that wasn't quite what I had tried to
see what happens.
Import.
It's a telephone game.
Commissioner Weintraub's motion regarding finding four did contain an amendment to do something different than the audit division recommended. You haven't voted yet up or down one way or the other on their recommendation on finding four. I don't think you have to, but the record would be cleaner if you did.
Well, I'm not sure that, I mean, I amended it because, I mean, all due respect, I don't think anybody agrees with the actual recommendation.
Right.
So there was an amended motion. I'm not sure what you accomplished by getting an up or down vote on your recommendation. I don't really see what that adds.
It's up to the commission. It's without being intimately familiar with the finding, I saw an amendment, and that was not what the audit division had recommended. If your point, as I understand it, is that you were in favor of everything, your motion encompassed everything the audit division recommended.
And then some.
And then some. you don't have to.
So at this point, with the 2-3 vote on Commissioner Weintraub, it would go to additional issues. So yeah. We don't need to have a further motion,
right.
And we can. All right, and we can put this one to bed. Okay.
That's kind of what I was saying.
All right.
just come out that
was the phraseology you were looking for.
So we're good? We're done?
So that concludes this discussion, yes, Mr. Chairman?
Go into this one.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for something.
Oh. Let's see,